And now may I speak in the name of the living God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. When our readings have told us of King Solomon wondering who will inherit his kingdom, and the greedy, selfish farmer who just built himself even bigger barns, then these two questions come quite naturally to mind. What is the true meaning of all the things we value, and where should we put our trust? So let's look at a few examples of changing values and some of the things we trust, beginning with a character from a bygone era. Around the turn of the 20th century, there was a brilliant and much-loved Dean and Warden of New College, Oxford, who is known to the world as Dr. Spooner. But for all his outstanding scholarship, devotion to duty, and wisdom, he is most remembered for his accidental habit of sometimes swapping the first letters of key words in what he was saying. For example, after a terrible disappointment, he declared that he had been delivered a blushing crow. My favourite story of Dr. Spooner's absent-mindedness involves a prestigious college dinner where he knew he recognised a lady but couldn't remember who she was. So he thought of a way to remind himself and casually asked the lady, what is your husband doing these days? Oh, she replied, equally casually, still king. I'm sure he was somewhat embarrassed. But decades after retirement, he was still warmly remembered for his kindness, integrity, and wisdom, all highly valued in his day. And so, to something else in more recent times. In the mid-1980s, a Surrey County primary school advisor described how a teacher he knew had made some imaginative ceramic flowers and planted them in the field outside his classroom. The children took them in, and for several weeks they painted and drew them, wrote about and named them, and based maths, science, and geography on them, as his creativity inspired them all to learn. But the Education Reform Act made that kind of teaching almost impossible to continue. In its drive for measurable results and amassing information, it really was a huge shift in values. If you ask almost any experienced teacher, they will candidly tell you that all these data fail to give anything like the whole or true picture of a child or of a school. Because having data is not the same as knowing, as our teachers know their pupils. Reliable data are those that are gathered appropriately by people who understand them in the wider situation. Otherwise, they're not to be trusted. But still, the gathering of endless data gives data gatherers the satisfying but mistaken sense that they are in control, in line with the phrase so apt for our day that knowledge is power. And year upon year, just like those bigger barns, more warehouses are built for all the data stored on servers, and all our emails and life online are kept as ones and zeros. And beside those who hoard our data, there are those who would misuse it to manipulate or defraud us, burrowing into the ever bigger barns in which we put our trust. The rich, greedy farmer who built the bigger barns put all his trust in his grain and his goods, with no regard for God or the needs of anyone else. Whereas Solomon, Israel's most resplendent king, began his reign by asking God for wisdom to rule his people. But after marrying hundreds of wives to make alliances, please do balk at marrying hundreds of wives, he took to worshipping their ungodly gods. And in the end, he wound up trusting too much to himself, distracted by the influence of idols. G.K. Chesterton once wrote that when we stop believing in God, we don't believe in nothing, we'll believe in anything. And Solomon the Great, as we heard from our reading, sank into despair about his empire, which should have remained just a kingdom. Solomon's learning had previously risen to the level of legendary wisdom. But the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and his heart had strayed a long way from the Lord. Foolish things are said and done when we trust in ourselves and not the Lord. There is a shameless arrogance on the world stage as alternative facts are declared. I'm sure you've heard that phrase. And if reason wins in court, then triumphant press releases and endless deceitful tweets that utterly denigrate anyone who dares to disagree can achieve the appearance of victory until the truth is finally seen. Because you can't fool all the people all of the time. Jesus warned about complacency to the people of his day, and he brought people in from the cold, and he fed, and he healed, and forgave. And that's what we are called to do. When we come to God in worship, we restore our trust in him. And when we welcome other people, then we are all warmed. And when we give thoughtfully to charities and spend our time supporting people and good causes, then we become richer in God. So, in contrast to dismal Solomon and the greedy, selfish farmer, we learn to value the things that God values, with all their creative colour and new life. And in any case, we don't really need to fight or strive for the things that God already wants to give us. We must trust the Lord our God with heart and soul and mind, for every human empire will eventually turn to dust. But as we see with Dr. Spooner, and in God's heavenly kingdom, kindness is never forgotten. Amen.